Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
So, welcome to the Sunday Roast on this Sunday, which is the 16th of April, 2023. It's actually Easter in Egypt this weekend, unlike it was Easter in the UK last weekend, because they follow the Coptic calendar. So, happy Easter to anybody who's celebrating Easter this week. And we're actually not doing a Sunday roast, a traditional Sunday roast this week. We're actually just going to give you the podcast, which was the 12 stocks of 2023, and a bit of a progress report. We did this a few weeks ago, but things have started to move. We've started to see those green shoots in the market. So we just wanted to give you a bit of an update on this, as we weren't actually doing a Sunday roast with an investment client or with a company this week. So have a good listen, and at the end of the listening, we will basically just go through the performances of the stock so far this year in the 3.5 months that they've been going, and what maybe we see in the future. So enjoy the lesson, and we'll be back.
So that I mean, bringing on to that subject and segueing nicely into those 12 stocks. Obviously, you mentioned the EV side. So, you know, we've got the Technology Minerals, which was the first company covered, obviously being a circular economy, battery metals, recycling. They're working towards extracting raw materials required for lithium ion battery cathodes. And not only that, they've got the lead acid plant as well. So that is really quite of on point and on topic company, isn't it, really, as we've just been talking about, in terms of it's a problem that really does need solving, right?
Yep. It's going to solve huge problems. And also it's a mining company as well, or certainly has mining assets. I mean, effectively, in 2022, it's been battered because of delays and government delays as well, because they were ready to rock and roll and the government hasn't been giving them the licenses. You know, the reality is that the governments also need to get their finger out. But the share price was battered, 1.4 pence. Yeah. We have a target of 5p on it, you know, so you will sort of treble your money or more. And I think that could be conservative if the government pulls its finger out and gives them the licenses, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even the mining stuff they've got I think copper, cobalt. What else was there? I think lithium. Yeah. So, you know, they a lot of potential, a lot of upside there, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And as you say, it just needs that catalyst, hopefully, of the EA permit for the first plant for the lead acid at Tipton, and then eventually one moving forward to get the second one for their lithium ion or LIBAT plant.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I suppose the first three choices, really, when you look at it: Technology Minerals, Jubilee Metals, which is a big producer in the platinum group, but now is moving heavily into copper in Zambia.
Yeah.
So again, the copper is for the EV metals. And we've also got then at number three, African Pioneer, which is copper and gold and potentially cobalt as well there as well, I think. So yeah, Jubilee Metals, I think, are much bigger market cap company than a lot of the other stocks that we've chosen. But yeah, we really think that it's spent a lot of money on capital over the last 18 months, which has put it in a position now where the revenues are going to start to rocket. Even if the prices of those commodities don't go up, it's going to exponentially increase because of the ability to produce more. So the share price now looks depressed, really, at sort of between the 10 and 11 pence scenario. And we have a target of 18p on it. So what do you think of African Pioneer then?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the it's been beaten down, hasn't it? And obviously the Sandfire being a significant holder in that company from the IPO, and obviously also a JV or offtake agreement with, not an offtake agreement, sorry, a partnership, let's say, with First Quantum. It looks very exciting, and obviously the big news this year is the fact that the Kalahari Copper Belt has been under the spotlight with the likes of Cobre, you know, in there in the midst, in the mix, and, you know, reactions to just how good a grade some of those, you know, finds are. So, you know, it seems to be ramping up. There's a mine there, isn't there, that's ramping up into production. So, yeah.
Cobre itself went up many hundreds of percent. On their finds and on their drilling and on the fact that they're going into production. And the licenses that AFP and I think Galileo hold are right in the middle of this. Like, I mean, right in the middle of it, you know, sort of extending the strike, if you like, from where they are. So I'm very excited about that one, I think. I mean, we were very excited about it last year and it sort of didn't come to fruition. But these things take time, I think, and obviously that was included last year, and we still expect it to do extremely well this year.
Target on that one of 6p, so that's should be doable. I mean, I think it hit about 4.5, 5p, didn't it, last year at sort of one of its peaks, so certainly into the fours. But moving on to the next one is a bit of a sea change, is BSF Enterprise Meet As You Know It. Exciting news about 2 months ago, whereby they announced that the three prototype fillets have been made, and they're obviously gearing up to showcase the larger piece of pork fillet, which hopefully will come in sometime in Q1 or early Q2. Obviously, watch this space for that one, but certainly looks exciting, doesn't it? The technology. I mean, if that technology was on any other stock market, like in the US, on one of the technology markets like the NASDAQ, it would be into the hundreds of millions of dollars worth of market cap.
Yeah, and I think that's all you need to say. Yeah. You know, it currently has a market cap of £15 million. And as you said, I think it would be minimum $100 million on any other market, you know, because of the potential that it has, both with its City Mix product, which is the product that allows the meat to develop, if you like, to grow, and you know, we all eat a lot of meat, and you know, from the point of view, is they're getting grants galore from people who want to protect the environment as well, because this could be a game changer. You know, suddenly you don't have to grow and feed huge numbers of cattle. You know, this can be a part replacement. It's never going to be a full replacement. We're never going to just eat this type of meat, but it could definitely be a part replacement. And that would obviously help the
environment. And that's just one part of it, isn't it? That's just one part. As you say, you've got the meat element, you've got the City Mix, which is obviously is something that can be IP'd and then, you know, basically sold on. As long as they can, economies of scale, manufacture it, bring the cost down and actually start to manufacture enough of it to give to other companies, because they're not really going to become an actual manufacturer of these meats and actually grow it in the labs. They're going to be providing the City Mix, the IP. They've got the corneas as well, which are obviously the parts of the eye.
Yeah.
So got the leathers, they've got the cosmetics. So it's not just a one-trick pony.
Yeah. And also the company with, you know, BSF Enterprise, plans to have more companies within its stable. You know, this is only 3D BioTissues is only going to be one of the companies of the stable. That was basically the way that they came to the market and suggested that this would happen.
What target has been put on that one?
We've put a target of 30p on it. I personally think it could do significantly more than that, but we're being conservative.
Next one, Prospects Energy. I mean, this is an exciting one, isn't it? There's a massive retail following for this stock, and obviously Mark Routh was included, and we spoke to him a couple of times now, and it all looks very exciting for the for first gas in hopefully Q1 of this year. So not too far away now, really.
Yeah, you're not going to get any dusters here. It's all there. It's proven. It's coming up. It's just a case of getting the pipeline out. And Bob's your uncle. The gas is going to start coming up. So there's nothing to prove here. Absolutely zero. It's a case of, you know, gas is going to come. It's in Europe. Do you think Europe needs gas? I think it does. You know, and, you know, so I think this for me is, it's wrong to say it's a no-brainer, but I think this is just going to be a massive cash cow, and quite quickly as well. You know, within the next 3 to 4 to 5 months, this company is going to be plowing out cash like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and they've also got, I think, some solar stuff as well. And other targets and other opportunities.
But they've got the Southern Spain one, haven't they? They own 49.9% of it, which is that one with which is basically Warrego have confirmed that it's received from Strike a confidential, non-binding, indicative all-share merger proposal. So that kind of is like going on in the background as we speak. So I guess shareholders will probably find out what the outcome of that is, and then, you know, presumably the potentially could be some upside in that for shareholders.
Yeah, and you know, Prospect could either you know, potentially have 100% of that if it's a non-core asset because it's outside of Australia, or alternatively, the whole thing's sold to the highest bidder, and then Prospect get a load more cash. So, who knows? Who knows? But I think you know, if you talk about a safe-ish oil and gas play, then I don't think you can go too far wrong with Prospect Energy. I see it as a dividend play within sort of 12 to 18 months once the type of money starts coming out.
Yeah.
So what target did we put on that one now? We started at 13.5p.
32p, I believe, on the target for that one.
Okay, so a good sort of 150% return or more. And I think, yeah, could be more, could be less.
Stick that in your post office savings account and smoke it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've already mentioned the next one, which again, Galileo Resources. We mentioned it in the tune of Jubilee and African Pioneer.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a
It's a massive portfolio, isn't it, though, really? Almost, I wouldn't say too big, but it is. It's frightening when you look at the Starmat, you look at the Afrimat, you look at the, obviously that, hopefully the cash will come in and that'll be announced soon. You've got the Zambia assets, you've got the Zimbabwe, you've got the Kamativi lithium tin. It's a massive suite of projects, is that one, isn't it, really, when you look at it. And all you need is one of those to come in. And I think we put a target on of about 3.9p, which is uber conservative, considering you just need one. I mean, the cash, they're in a cash position of around circa probably between 9 and 10 million if the once the Afrimat payment comes in, and they're in a strong position, Galileo.
Yeah, I mean, at 1.3p, they're not operating massively over cash, are they, really? I don't think.
No.
You know, so yeah, and I don't think it's a big shock that Lewin Sabi, isn't it, is in Zambia. It's not a million miles away from what Jubilee's doing there.
Yeah.
And there's some connections going on there with Colin and Jubilee, as he was the chairman. He's obviously no longer. So, you know, I think people should be putting two and two together and coming up with 22, because ultimately, I think there's going to be some connections going on down there. But we'll see. We don't know for sure, but it all looks very prospective in terms of what's going on. And, copper, gold, all sorts of stuff going on there.
Yeah. So moving on to, we've already talked the target for that one. So moving on to number seven, Contango Holdings, and then obviously Ben follows, just happened to be that way, but obviously two coking coal / met coal projects. Do you want to take Contango, talk through where we are with that one briefly?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Lubu coal project in Zimbabwe. I think, again, there's been the story of different ones of these resource plays. There's been delays going through the 2022, but they've all cashed up now. They made a big raise there. I think it was in November, was it? 6p. And currently the share price is lying lower than that. Q1, at some point, we should be producing some sort of coal. There's all sorts of deals going on in terms of how they're going to do it. But effectively, in the long run, they want to do coking coal, which obviously takes some equipment and plant to produce the coking coal, or alternatively the met coal to get offtake agreements and to go and get it. It's all about how quickly the cash comes in terms of the sales will depend on how quickly the share price goes up, because I don't think there's any doubt it's going up. They've got the cash to do it. It's a case of how long it's going to take. So price currently 5.3p, and we have a target of 11p. Again, that could be very conservative if, you know, this cash flow starts to come as soon as possible, you know.
Yeah, I think we've had this question before, haven't we? Oh, well, this target, you know, potentially, you know, why would you sell all your stock? Well, it's not, it's just, we think it may hit that target at some point this year. And what whether you sell a whole, you know, make your own decision on what you want to do with it, because ultimately, yeah, it may not end the year at that price. You know, we saw that with Ben last year. Target was 80p. It smashed through 80p to £1.08, £1.09, but then it finished the year around 21 pence. So ultimately, if money wasn't taken off the table and you weren't nimble and you know, thinking that you should have taken some profit, then ultimately, then, you know, you're going to lose. You've got to take the money off the table. Not all of it, but maybe a section of it.
Yeah, and for the sake of our portfolio in terms of this, to see how our performance is in terms of this, if it hits the target, we assume it's sold. Okay, yeah. So and that's what we did last year. And we managed to get, I think, a 1% return in the year because we did that. Or 0.5%, I can't remember the exact amount, but it wasn't very good. But if we hadn't have done that, we would have been down 30%, I think it was. So, you know, some logic in actually, and again, set your own targets. We're just giving you a guide of what we're thinking.
The reality is very rarely do shares hold on to that peak value, and you know what I mean? And then that becomes a consolidation, and then it becomes like a level to then grow. Obviously, we see levels on the way up, but once they hit that peak, very rarely do they, the following year or 6 months later, actually be anywhere near that peak. I mean, Argo blockchain was a great example recently, just going off on a tangent. What did it do? It did something like 1100% or something like that, if maybe even more. I think it went from 4p to
it was up to £3, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It may have even been like an 11th, like I don't know, 110 bagger or something like that. It was crazy. It did ridiculous level. Anyway, it went ballistic. And where did it end up at the end of this year? 4p back to the levels it was about 18 months, you know, before it started its rise about 18 months ago.
Crazy. And then we've just seen a 200% increase in the last week or whatever.
Because they announced that they've sold the Texan assets and are still retaining a percentage cut on them. Fair play. It looks like a good deal been worked, really, because there's no way that they would have continued to have traded if they hadn't have done that deal.
No, they got out of jail there, I think, and that has allowed them to trade and continue. So,
yeah.
So what do you think about Ben?
Ben's Creek, I mean, I'm shocked, and it's probably moves back onto what I just said, is how that didn't hold on. I mean, we know that there was extenuating circumstances. There was obviously a distressed seller in the background. We've seen High Vol A, High Vol B, met coal prices come tumbling down from the peaks around the, you know, the 400s or 450s, whatever they hit. They're moving up nicely now back into the late 200s, which is quite promising. But I think it has to rise. I just cannot see how a company that has 11, maybe 12 trains have left, they're nearly hitting those targets of, I think they announced, was it 76,000 tons, whatever it was, the last figure we saw in the update. For me, it's only going to improve in terms of them getting the trains out rolling.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think the market's waiting for a bit more news in terms of the high wall miner. But I mean, if you look back at where we were last year, we're cheaper than we were this time last year when we recommended it, and it went to 80p. It went higher than that, obviously, for a few weeks, and then it came tumbling down. I suppose with the met coal price, with a distressed seller, and, you know, basically with the worst market we've had in 50 years. So this is basically what happened. So do you think it's going to recover? How well do you think it's going to recover?
Yeah,
that's the only question you've got to ask.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to ask yourself, how well do you exactly that? Target price on that one we set to
60p.
60p.
Now, again, we're being fairly conservative. I mean, if the met coal price goes to the late 300s, then I could, you know, as in another $100 from where we are now, I think that 60p is a joke. It's going to be higher than that. Moving on to 9, Chill Brands. I mean, we talk about stocks going down from a pound. Chill Brands down from a pound to 2p. We picked it last year as well. I'm picking it again this year. Last year, I really did think it was going to be the year, but we were fooled, I think, by the previous management. And I think most people now are very confident and very happy with Callum Somerton, who's now the CEO. He's got his head screwed on. He's making plans. He's reducing costs. And sales are going up. So, you know, the whole plan to make chill.com a marketplace, I think, is going to come together in 2023. And also sales of vapes and all the other products, I expect to increase probably exponentially, because they're from a very low base, if you like, in terms of what they've done. So current price is 2p. We have a target of 5p on it. Yeah. Again, if the sales start rocking,
it's all down to revenues and numbers now, isn't it, really? Just to show some meat on the bone. It's as simple as that. There's no other way of, you know.
And I think revenues and profitability could grow very, very swiftly with a vape product.
And also with the chill.com marketplace as well. Get as many resellers on, or, you know, not resell, but as products on there as possible. And the commission side will look after itself.
Correct, indeed.
All right, so number 10, Greatland Gold, an interesting one, isn't it, this? That it's had a market cap into the, I think it went over a billion at one point, didn't it, in its peak? We're talking about 2-3 years ago, it was over a billion pound stock on the AIM market. It was probably the most highest value AIM stock of not of all time, but probably not far off, to be fair. Obviously, Havieron, gold copper deposit in the Paterson region of Western Australia, fully funded this year. I mean, well, say fully funded, but certainly massive funding going on by big banks in Australia, and by a gentleman who owns one of the largest mining companies as well. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that one? It's a steady burner, this one, isn't it, in terms of big assets, even bigger assets than Havieron as well, they think, don't they, with the likes of Telfer and Scallywag and all those. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's more than a one mine company, is my view on it. And you know, the big boys called Sean Day's called his bluff, I think.
Yeah,
and basically,
Newcrest, wasn't it?
Yeah, and basically he blew them out of the water because he went and got the money.
Yeah.
So I think they really didn't know. So now Greatland Gold sitting there with 30% instead of 25%, got all the cash. Got the situation sorted out. Like,
they tried to play him, and he played them
post-haste.
Like, played him like a fiddle, didn't he, Matt?
Yeah, he did. He played them for sure. And you know, we've interviewed him numerous times now, and he's a switched-on guy. Like, he's a very nice guy, and he's like, you know, you're not going to pull one over his eyes anyway. That's for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, and price now is around 8p. We've got a target of around 12p on it. Only 50% return, but at the same time, it could do much better than that.
Yeah.
We're in an environment now where I really do think 2023, we're going to see gold perk up. So if you start to see 2,200, 2,500 gold, then forget about our target, because our target's out the window, you know, because I think it's going to be valued considerably higher. But again, What really, it's wrong to say it, but what really can go that wrong? You know, they have 5-point-something million ounces of gold already there. It's at a high grams per ton, and you know, Newcrest aren't about to walk away. You know, it's going to be a producing mine,
and they're pretty much at a, I'm not going to say an all time low, because I remember when they were in the 0.5, 0.2 P's, you know, but they're certainly at near a 52 week low. I think the 52 week low is around 7.3 P. They're about 8.3 now. And the high of the year of 2022 was in March, when they were at 17 pence or 16.9. So, you know, they have dropped back quite a lot, haven't they? And that was actually obviously before the funding. So they're in a much better position, because they've retained that extra 5%, you know, and they've got the money behind them to do what they need to do.
Yeah, I think probably the price now is probably lower than that 17p on market cap basis, but it's probably not 100% lower. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a solid company, and it's one of the main reasons why we picked it. Was because of the solid management, Sean, and all the people he's gathering around him. And yeah, it's going to be a world-class asset for the next however many years, decades.
Moving on, sovereign metals. What do you want to just give us a run through on that? I think potentially you may be visiting the mine in Malawi, might you? It's obviously at the moment ETF, not confirmed, but there's potential for you to go there. I mean,
there's potential. I'm going to go to Malawi. I actually had contact again with Sapam today just to find out what the itinerary was, because after the Indaba finishes, he's taken a couple of people to the mine site, and he's invited me to go along. So, I mean, basically, we've got the world's biggest rutile deposit and a huge graphite deposit along with it as a byproduct, if you like. And actually, the interesting thing is that Sovereign Metals were looking for the graphite. So initially, they were looking for the graphite and stumbled across the rutile, which happens to be the world's biggest rutile deposit. Rutile, what the hell is it? It's the titanium oxide. We need it in many things. I think we need it in paint. What else is it? It was
Welding trade. They've got
offtakes. Welding. That's it. Yeah.
They've got offtakes with Japanese companies, haven't they?
And an American company
an American
as well.
Company
I think.
As well. So they've got a few offtakes in place. One with the welding. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I like about it as well is that Sprott, some of the listeners may know Rick Rule, who's a big, I think he's one of the major investors or backers in Sprott itself. He does a lot of the stock picks. He has been on many podcasts and YouTube videos. Just type in Rick Rule Sprott Sovereign Metals, and you'll see some of the videos where he talks about the ROI and the NPV, and obviously I think they put a buy rating of about $1.65 based on a 0.5 times NAV multiple for Cassia, holding the 1.2 billion tons of unmined material at just 0.15% in situ. And it, remember, this is hydro mining, so this is really, really simple stuff. This is like getting a very large water cannon, high pressure water, and literally blasting it against the surface, and it literally just falls away. It could not be more ESG if you wanted it to be to you know what I mean. It doesn't it's not really destructive mining in that. So very interesting play, and I think they're also spinning out the spinning out the graphite side of things, aren't they?
The other graphite plays that graphite they've got in Malawi.
Yeah,
they're going to go into a separate company. So 1 to 11, if you own this share in the next few weeks, then 1 to 11, you'll get every 11 shares you have, you'll get a free share.
It'll be obviously listed, but that'll be listed on the Australian.
Initially on the Australian, and then there was talk then that they probably would list it.
So target, conservative target on that one, what's the number?
We decided it would be 48p, which was the high of this year, of 2022. But to be honest, I think this one's in play. I think somebody could come in and just say, thank you very much, here's a very big check.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we chose it as well, because we really think there's very good potential here for some buyers to come in and say, yes, thank you very much, we'll have that rutile and we'll have that graphite. So we will see. We will see. I think there is going to be consolidation in the resource sector, because there's many of the end users of this are realizing they want security of tenure. That goes back even to the coal miners, the metallurgical coal. Why on earth, as a big steel producer, would you not go and buy a coal mine? You are in a billion dollar business.
Yeah, you want to secure your supply chain, don't you? All right, let's take the last one, Helium One, talking about NASA actually taking some of the helium on in contract, I think up to $900 an MCF, isn't it?
Yeah, just over. And the market is looking at 450, 500 as a normal. But again, NASA wanted to secure that it had the helium, because if it doesn't have the helium, it's stuffed, So, I mean, this is an absolutely humongous project in terms of the amount of helium that's possibly there and the ability to supply literally the world with helium. So had bad news at the very start of this year. Obviously, they thought the rig was going to come very shortly. The people who had the rig basically contracted it for another 12 months. So the rig's not going to be available till next January. So I don't think they've let that rig go. But at the same time, they're now saying we're looking for another rig as quickly as possible. So drilled, helium comes up. It's going to be just like money coming out the ground. It's going to be scary bananas, I think. Current price, 5.5p.
And then you maybe there will be some sort of offtake with one of these majors. I mean, look at SpaceX. They did 60 launches last year. I mean, they're going to need something. Can you imagine that? Elon Musk banging on the door of someone like Helium One should they prove up this, 135 BCF or something like that on their total P50.
America. Yeah, but Elon Musk doesn't bang on your door. He just buys you, doesn't he?
You know, comes in with a kitchen sink.
You know, and I think that is why there is going to be some M&A action in the resource sector because, you know, people have got these assets and the downstream people want to secure the line of supply. So if it's there and it's pumped out the ground, then why not? Anyway, 5.5p price. We got a target of 17p. I mean, it hit that just on news of them drilling the first time. In fact, far above that. Yeah. So it's a conservative target.
Oh, it went into the late 20s, early 30s. I know for a fact it was up at that range.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to that. These were the 12 stocks that we chose for 2023. In general, the stocks are doing pretty well. We are now 11.3% up on the year overall as a group of stocks, which is quite good considering we were 1% down only 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I suppose that's the interesting part of why we decided to do this, because there's now been some green shoots in some of these investments. And I think there's going to be more. So let's just do a quick review of how they've gone on. Prospect Energy is the worst performer so far with a negative 40%. Seems absolutely bizarre, to be honest with you, considering First Gas is going to be coming very shortly. Yeah, they're going to be revenue cash positive within the next few months. Yes, gas prices have fallen back, but really, we were at 20p at one point on this stock, and it's now fallen off the cliff, if you like. It's going at 8p. So the next one, Jubilee Metals, again, down about 19.5% at 8.2p. Again, I really think a very sizable company in terms of small cap market has got over all of the problems that it had. And I can only see higher revenues and higher production and higher profitability going forward. So again, a bit of a mystery really why that has fallen in that way. The next one is Galileo, which is down 15%. Again, a complete mystery. They're waiting for their £5 million to come in from South Africa from a sale. And also there's going to be further production coming from copper and various other assets that they hold, materially undervalued in my view. And so we will see what happens. The next one, Contango Holdings, again, 8.5% down from the start of the year. A very strange one, really, because, again, no anticipation of the fact that it's going to start producing revenue from sales of coal in the next number of weeks, I believe, maybe months, but let's say more than likely weeks. They've taken the overburden off. They're starting to dig the coal up from a very shallow base, and they're going to start selling it. So how it's sitting now, what, 20% below the price that it raised money at, which I think was 6p, was it, is bizarre. It really is bizarre. Okay, moving on then, we've got Benn's Creek, which is also 5% down. It's moved up a bit in the last couple of days. There was news there that maybe MBU Capital are going to be selling a big proportion of their stock holding to another entity. I think that can only be a positive thing if that happens. I think more likely to increase the value of Benn's Creek shares in general, just because of they no longer will hold over 50% of the stock, which I think will attract some investors. So again, in my view, materially undervalued at the minute. So it's interesting, really, those bottom five all are either about to produce revenue, are about to receive cash, or already producing cash in terms of Benn's Creek and Jubilee Platinum. and revenue and profit, and yet they've been the worst performers. So that seems rather strange. But anyway, moving on to the sixth one now, which is 4.5% down from where we're, is African Pioneer. The problem with this one is there hasn't been a lot of news, but the assets that they do hold, mainly copper, could blow the lid off this one. And for me, again, the value of it now is a bit silly at 2.1 pence. I think you're talking about £3 or 4 million at the most. And it has the potential to be worth significantly more than that. Significantly more than that. If any of their assets come in that have been researched and looked at by two major companies. Okay, so now we move into the positive territory. So we have six of the companies that are currently down. I suppose you could argue that three of them down less than 10% is marginal, especially in the small caps arena. So really, we've got three that are significantly down in Galileo, Jubilee and Prospect Energy, all of which I'm a very strong proponent of, and I expect them to do very well. So moving on now to the positive territory, we've got Greatland Gold, which really hasn't moved very much at all. It's up 2.5%. Bit of instability in the market there just because of this Newcrest New Mount thing. But I can't see anything but good things going forward for that as they move into production probably this time next year is the scheduled plan, I think. And then they're going to be, you know, pouring gold and cash revenue is going to be coming out of that ground. So, yeah. So then the next one is Sovereign Metals, up 8.7% since we recommended that at 23p. It's now 25p. It's also had a split off part of its shares as well. Since we spoke, they've taken out the graphite projects out of Sovereign Metals into a separate entity, which will be IPO'd. Again, for the biggest rutile deposit and possibly one of the biggest graphite deposits in the entire world in Malawi, again, seems ridiculous valuation. And, you know, you're talking in the billions of dollars for the net present value. So again, let's hope that as it moves forward this year in the pre-feasibility studies, that the value starts to come through there. Okay, the next one, Helium One. We got a 17% return on this one at 6.45 pence. Really, we're just waiting, I think, for drilling and for the possibility that they will find this. So though it is up, I think it was down when we picked it because of the drill rig. And now with anticipation of a drill rig, it has continued to go up. And then the top three, we've got BSF Enterprises, which was the meat production, and also leather and cosmetics and the City Mix product, which they will sell to enhance the growth of the cells when the lab meat is growing. They're about to have many things happen, I think. They just raised money at 17p, which considering they came to the market at, I think it was 375 or something like that, or 175 late last year. They've done extremely well. They're on 18.5p now, which is 23% up from when we first discussed it, or we first chose it, I should say, in January. And then the second top performer at the minute is Technology Minerals, which is up 65%, obviously based around the fact that they got some very decent funding recently, and also that they've managed to get the license now for the lithium ion battery recycling plant in Wolverhampton. Once that starts to go, if you look at the profitability on just one plant, even though their aim is to have five of both the lithium ion and the lead acid, then you could be talking huge numbers, literally huge numbers. So even the current valuation there with its up 65% is way, 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 way below what it should be. The other purchase of Recyclist is priced at 4.32 pence, which is, you know, 2 pence below where it is now. You'd have to think that was a target price at the very least for this share to eventually go to. Some warrants issued to the staff this week, which put a bit of a dampener on it. I think it could have actually continued to go. But I'm anticipating lots of news because they haven't been able to put any news out whatsoever because they didn't have the license. But now they can start to, both from point of view of cooperations they've got with other people, and also moving forward on collections of the lithium ion batteries, even the vapes, because ultimately they got a contract and won a grant from the government to produce the mobile lithium ion battery solution as well. And just imagine having one of these in every big city. You know, it's just going to be like here's your lithium ion battery recycler on wheels, and you have one in every big city, just in the UK, that is. Never mind the whole of Europe and the US and everywhere else. So this could be hugely scalable in terms of a business. And finally, the share that is currently doing the best since January is Chillbrands, 112% up, 4.25 pence. They've had quite an interesting period of time. They've managed to secure two lots of funding for over £3 million, which really does secure the way forward. They've got chill.com, which they're now onboarding many different products which they will receive. So they're creating a marketplace which really should just produce profit as it increases and the traffic increases. And then they're going heavily into the vapes, and they've reordered the vapes after selling the majority of vapes, I think, that they got the first time around, and also trying to progress those same vapes into the United Kingdom as well. They are nicotine free vapes, so ultimately this is a sort of a green play, if you like, or a play that is going to be health conscious, but people still want to have the benefit, if you like, of having something in their hand and puffing and in their mouth. So overall, the stocks are up about 11.5%, and we've really seen quite a spurt in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and that's why we wanted to just approach that. So I'm gonna give you, because we've had a stock of the week for the last couple of weeks, and the first week we had Genflow Biosciences, which did 50%, and it's actually continued on this week, and it's now up at, I think, close to 100% from where we originally recommended it. And last week's was Extract Resources, which is up about 25% from when we talked about it last Sunday. Again, I think a long way to go in that. But one of the ones I talked about earlier on in this podcast is the one that I'm going to give you for the stock of the week, and that is Galileo Resources, simply because of the assets that they hold. They're going to get £5 million in cash soon. I don't know when, but soon. Again, I think it's just an administrative situation that's going to bring that money in. And the market cap, let me just check exactly what it finished at in terms of the market cap. It was up ever so slightly on Friday, I think. But we now have a market cap of 12.5 million. And I would suggest when it gets to 5 million, it will have well over half of its market cap in cash, probably considerably more than that, and has numerous assets all across Africa that are going to be producing copper. In Zambia that we visited, Lewensobi that we visited when we were to go to the Indaba. So my stock of the week for next week is Galileo. It is intrinsically undervalued. I could have chosen, in my view, any of those four or five that are in the bottom of our 2023 stocks. That would include Prospect Energy, Jubilee, Galileo, which is the one I've picked, Contango Holdings, and Benn's Creek, and African Pioneer. All of those six stocks are down from our original purchase price, and in my view, are undervalued. But as we say, do your own research. We try and give you a good guide and give you the opportunity to understand how the CEO works, how the company works, and then you can make your own decisions. Okay, so I wish you good luck. I think we're moving into a period where hopefully the small caps are going to start making some money, because we've just had a dreadful period of time. US dollar continues to slide a bit. The gold price is going up, and resource sector plays, in my view, are going to do very well. And if you look at those bottom six, they're all resource sector plays. So is now the time to jump on the bandwagon of resource sector plays, whether it be these ones or your favorite one? Only you will know. Anyway, we thank you very much for listening. It will be on YouTube as well. So smash that like and follow us if you can on YouTube. And good luck. We'll see you next week with some more CEOs and some more guests.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.